KQSS Miami. It's country and more.
And this would constitute the more version, actually. It is KQSS. I am Raleigh James, and I am delighted to have Fred Barcone with me. And Fred, you brought a guest.
Yes, I brought Dana.
Identify.
She is from Chicago. Okay. Listening to the two of you has been...
Dana from Chicago. Yes, we've solved all the problems of the world. You can go home now. All right. So we'll give you the phone number in case anything that is said here sparks you to actually motivate yourself to the phone. That's 888-876-5593. 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. All right. So, Fred, now, I had heard from you, and you told me about Citizens Against Higher Taxes. And by the way, there's a community meeting coming up on April 18th at the Bullion Plaza Inspiration Room. What time?
It's April the 18th at 6 o'clock.
6 p.m. All right. So, obviously, TRSD has been in the news for now well over a decade. The district believes it's getting ready to, I guess, break ground for service, and you're saying not so fast. So tell me what's up.
Well, first of all, let me start with the fact that we support a wastewater system. We just don't support a third wastewater plant. Everything is in place now for hooking up to Miami. It's just common sense. So anyway, some time ago, I stopped attending meetings at TRSD because nothing was ever accomplished, nothing was ever answered, and I got tired of being challenged. And so here recently, the TRSD asked CAG to extend their DMA, their service area, up north past while I was on the trail to be able to put in a new wastewater plant. And so when that happened, I happened to be with Alexis Rivera at the town of Miami when they had a Zoom meeting with CAG. The Zoom meeting included the City of Globe, the county, TRSD, and the town of Miami. I sat there and I realized at that point that there might be an avenue to hook up to Miami. Maybe it wasn't too late because TRSD requested a change in their DMA. It opened the whole process over again, where they had to get a letter of approval from the City of Globe and a letter of approval from the town of Miami. They were considered the stakeholders. And therein also lays a problem that in reading the email that Alexis Rivera had given me, it listed the stakeholders, and in the list, there was no mention of the property owners. The property owners were not considered stakeholders. And so I sent an email to CAG to ask why the property owners were not considered stakeholders, and the reply I got back was kind of long drawn out, but the short of it was that the CAG did not consider the property owners knowledgeable on wastewater systems. And so the people that are going to be paying the bill have been excluded. So this led to, I did a little posting on Facebook, and lo and behold, I tied up with Dana, and so here we are.
All right. Now, that's interesting. And by the way, when you were saying that the property owners weren't knowledgeable, I thought about a situation that happened many years ago in Alaska, where the population voted to move the capital. Because if you're in the mainland of Alaska, you're pretty ticked that it's over there in Juneau, which is hanging off of British Columbia, and it should be on the mainland, maybe, you know, Willow, Wasilla. So anyway, they voted to move it. And the AG rescinded the vote, saying the voters weren't knowledgeable enough to make the decision. And that was the first time I heard that was a legal thing. But in most, I would assume in most situations, if you're a property owner, you're automatically a stakeholder. Is that normally the practice with taxation?
Well, you would assume. But what they, again, in the same email, they said, CAG did, that property owners would have an opportunity to to discuss their concerns and call to the public. And that is just kind of blowing us off again.
That's a notice at the post office that nobody reads.
Yes. And so we, at the time, meeting with Dana and several others, we came up with Citizens Against Higher Taxes because we really didn't know what it was going to cost. We have, and majority of the people that are in our group have attended meetings. They have asked questions. In fact, Dana was asked by Jacques, the chairman, to be a board member or get involved, and because she her feelings were against what Jacques believed, this new wastewater system, she wasn't appointed to the board. Now, let's talk about the board. The board consists of probably only one elected official, and I think that's Mary Amarino. The other four have been appointed. Now, what you have to remember again, that getting appointed and running as an elected official are two totally different things.
Oh, of course.
You have an elected official that goes in with the idea of knowing full well that they represent their constituents. They represent people. They don't go in and automatically fall in with, in this case, a whole new wastewater system and ignoring what CAG refers to as the economies of scale. And there is that term, economies of scale.
Sure.
And I say, quite frankly, that is common sense.
Yeah, let me ask you, since you're talking about hooking up with Miami, number one, is it possible? Does the system have the room for it?
Most definitely. I've talked to many that have been involved in the building of the wastewater plant, and they have more than enough.
Now, the next question is, of course, you'd still have to do the infrastructure. You'd have to connect the houses and all that kind of stuff. Would there be grant money to do that? You know, because one of the things about doing the system, of course, they're going after grant money and all that kind of stuff. Would they be able to get the grant money to hook up to an existing system?
And on that, Raleigh, this board has not been transparent, and that's why everyone is so upset, because you go and you ask questions and they put you off, and being a special tax district that puts them in this deal where it just you can't touch them. I've tried to follow the money, and I've asked the Gila County Treasurer for itemized statements and audits, and I got nothing. And there's nothing that you can trace, but we do know that money-wise, they have spent about $6 million in the last few years.
Well, of course, the board's been around, various boards and various people, for a long, long time, and I believe that that's one of the things that causes people a lot of angst when the subject comes up of Tri-City, because they're saying, it's been going on for over a dozen years, and we're paying all this money, and all that kind of stuff. So clearly, the sins of the fathers are visited upon the sons in terms of whoever were to come in there. They'd be starting with a certain amount of animosity because of the time. But I'm still going, you and I are in agreement about one thing for sure, and that is there needs to be a system.
There it is.
All right, and see, that's the thing, because very often someone will say, well, you want no system? No, there must be a system. So now it's a question of what system, and is it feasible to do it? In other words, what, and I assume at some point Robert Jacques will want to come on from TRSD, and that'll be fine, and I will ask him the same thing. What are the impediments to hooking up to Miami? In other words, like you say, in your position, it's a no-brainer. Well, somebody is saying can't do it, so what's behind can't do it?
And then we get back to why I stopped going to the meetings. There are engineering firm representative, Mike Krebs, who from the very, very first meeting that I attended back in 2015, made a statement that one of the reasons that they couldn't hook up to Miami was that they had to put in a lift station that was going to pump 200 feet up in the air. And I don't know why it didn't occur to me at the time, but one one day I stepped out of my office, which faces the Miami wastewater plant and the tailings, and I looked over at the lift station, and I looked over at the Miami wastewater plant, and I had my neighbor, Jack Bradford, who has the latest in computer systems. I said, Jack, I said, would you check this thing out and let me know the difference in elevation between the lift station and the wastewater plant? So he came back within minutes, and he says, it's 42 feet. And I said, well, where is he getting this 200 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that the 200 feet was important to him because he says, well, now you're going to have to build a heck of a lift station, a pump to. Well, again, it was an untruth. And there's been several untruths. And in fact, in getting ready for this radio show, I happened to look at the TRSD website. And I'm looking at, you know, what the TRSD people have done in the past. And lo and behold, I find that they used a preliminary engineering report prepared by Barcone Corporation and Fred Barcone, namely.
Well, gee, I guess you're familiar with that. Unless you had a ghost written.
Apparently you did.
I did no such thing. I've never prepared a PER. I've never, and that's it was a total out and out lie, and that's just to bring me into the picture. But we were responsible, my group and I, we were responsible for getting the funding for the town of Miami. And from the time that, in fact, we were asked by Freeport to help the town of Miami. And when I say my group, it was my partner, Alfredo Gutierrez, born and raised political icon from Miami. And so he and I went to work, and from the time we started to the time we received the funding from USDA, it was a total of 8 months. Now we sit looking at this project that has gone from, I think, $35 million. I think not too long ago, Jacques asked Supervisor Humphrey at a meeting that if he was correct, that all the homeowners or the user were going to have to pay back was $32.5 million. And Supervisor Humphrey agreed with him. That I think that meeting was like about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're saying that this project is going to cost $122 million. And let's remember that the users, there are only 1,800 users or homes in the Tri-City District, and that's their figures, not mine.
So 1,800, and that's the three phases.
Yes.
Now, of those 1,800, how many are paying taxes? In other words, versus abandoned properties.
Well, using that same article, they say that they are estimated 300 to 400 abandoned homes.
All right,
we're talking 1,400.
So let's just go with 1,500 just for the heck of it. So you're talking about 1,500 taxpayers,
yes,
who will bear the burden of this. Now, I'll ask this. If you're going to hook up with Miami, can it be done more quickly than the project that they're talking about?
Oh, most definitely. This, again, it's common sense. This is the economies of scale that CAG has asked for. The economies of scale, you look at the trunk lines that Miami has in place. It's right straight down the from Miami to Gordon Street over to behind the Freeport buildings, straight over to their wastewater plant. And then you have all the lines coming down from the shopping center, Miami Gardens, the school, the hospital, and the shopping center. They're all in place. Now, here recently, one of the mines, ones that controlled the Bechtel track, they paid approximately $300,000, is my understanding, to connect the Bechtel Track subdivision to Miami's wastewater plant.
Okay.
The remainder of the $650,000, Miami is keeping to pay for the use of the Bechtel Track residences.
All right, so it could be done more quickly than the phases.
Well, they're in place.
All right, and we're running blind.
Yeah, they're duplicating the system.
So they're duplicating a system now. Federal government being the federal government, are they weighing in some way saying you have to have your own system for me to give you money, that kind of thing?
No, I asked Supervisor Humphrey after a Town of Miami meeting why he supported such an expensive system. And he says, well, the reason he supports it is because he was told by USDA that the only way that Phase 1 could get funded was to have a wastewater plant. Now, I have met with Charlene Fernandez, who is the USDA director.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose of my meeting was to go over the economies of scale. One I just mentioned was the trunk that BHP, the local copper company, paid to hook up to Miami. So the Bechtel trunk line is set up, and if you're familiar with the area, you see it's a natural flow from these canyons to that trunk.
So what did Charlene say? Was she amenable to Miami?
She and I went over these, and so it was in Alexis Rivera's office.
Uh-huh.
And so she turned to Alexis and asked him, can the town of Miami handle the TRSD waste? And he says, yes, they can. They have more than enough. But again, there is a CAG plan. It's called the CAG 208 plan. And it's been drawn up. And it's a plan that practically the whole state of Arizona is following. It gives the economies of scale, but it also refers to the objectives. The first objective is to hooking up to a wastewater plant is, one, to use existing lines. Two, to use an existing wastewater plant. Three, if the wastewater plant or the lines have to be upgraded, then upgrade those two. And only like four or five do they say, well, build a new wastewater plant.
All right, so your position, I guess, is that there's no impediment in terms of the government from hooking up to Miami.
And that's what we're trying to do, Raleigh. We have... our group has been out getting signatures from property owners, so in the Tri-City District, to present to Charlene Fernandez, because we're really not being represented by this group.
Okay, so she hasn't signed off yet on
She hasn't.
So what we're really saying here, this is critical for funding, obviously. No doubt about that. No matter what's built, the USDA better be involved, because otherwise you talk about picking up expenses. Whoa, boy. All right, so with that in mind... At this point, your real issue is with the USDA, I would think, more than even the TRSD, in terms of you would need to get approval of this to have a viable position. In other words, nothing happens until you get that approval.
That's correct. And that is why we're out trying to, again, get the petition signed. And also, we're looking at what we can do to change this situation, because historically... property owners have not been, as I said, represented. So now we have people that are going to be running for office this coming November, and possibly looking at replacing the entire board. That's the avenue that is being followed right now.
And all of that, and I understand all the politics in that, but it still comes down right now to being able to convince the USDA for your position. Because without that, you've got no position. So I would assume that's one of the reasons for the meeting at Bullion Plaza on April 18th.
That's correct.
Get people involved. And you know, I mean, it's obviously to some extent political with however the USDA will decide anyway. But what you're saying that I hear is the town of Miami is behind you if you can get this done. Is that a fact?
That is correct.
Okay, so they're saying you get it done, we can accommodate you.
Yes.
All right, so then what we're really talking about here is why citizens should in fact say, no, I don't want to go with a new system, I want to go with Miami. And this is where you get into the name of your group, Citizens Against Higher Taxes, because obviously we're talking about the economies in this. So with that in mind, what if TRSD goes through with their plans, what in terms of taxes is it going to cost every property owner? And I know that's dependent on the size of the property, but on average.
We have no idea. The board has hired lobbyists. They have hired a public relations person. They are taking trips to Washington, D.C. to lobby. This is all money that's in our coffers that's being spent for this grandiose project.
Right. So at this point, though, we really don't have a dollar figure.
No, we don't.
To entice people to say, hey, I'm signing my name on this. All right. So if it was a situation where they hooked up with Miami, is there a tax burden on that plan? Would they have to pay some taxes?
There would be. And understand, my expertise in this is my construction company, has built wastewater plants.
Right.
We have built, put in distribution systems. We know what we're talking about. So I think Dana wants to say something.
I'm sorry. The only thing I want to make clear is we don't have the numbers, obviously, because we can't get the numbers. But for the property owners, they need to understand something, that TRSD is not making transparent to these people, and that is this encumbrance, which is a fancy name for a loan. It's going to be a 40-year loan and a lien on your property until it's paid in full. So people need to understand that. That's not the $45 or $47 fee a month or the usage or any property tax increase. This is over and above those three things. So we would have no idea what the amount is, but the more you spend, if we're up to $125 million, that's a huge burden on 1,400 households.
So that encumbrance would not be part of the taxes?
No, taxes are separate.
So they would get a separate bill for this?
We don't know how they're going to bill it, but if you look up encumbrance, it's a separate, it falls under this tax district thing that they're under now.
So
but it's separate, it's a loan payment. You're responsible for a loan payment.
It sounds to me like the first order of business, of course, the real order of business is you got to convince the USDA or there's no argument.
That's correct.
All right, so that's the bottom line. But in terms of properly stating this, and you were saying that with regard to wanting more transparency, we got to know what these numbers are.
That's correct.
So
before we start,
I assume what you're saying is your real issue here is not higher taxes as much as it is writing a blank check.
And again, going and reading the documents that TRSD has on their website, and this one is one that Dana just found prior to coming over here. It listed the cost of hooking up to the town of Miami was more than having their own system.
It was like double.
Excuse me for a minute. I'm going to have to leave the room. You're going to continue to talk. You guys can talk amongst yourselves. Go for it. Keep talking, Fred.
Okay, so where we are on the project is we do not know how much it's going to cost. We do not know. We do not know, period. And but again, using the, sound like a broken record, economies of scale, the lines are already in place. The trunk lines are already in place. The wastewater plant is already in place. And to maybe upgrade it is not going to cost as much as setting one up 2 or 3 miles north on Apache Trail. It just does not make sense. Do you want to add anything, Dana?
I mean, really, we're kind of just going over the same thing over and over. This isn't attack on TRSD. We want to get this project finished. We are tired. Property owners want this. They want this. We need this new septic system in there, the new wastewater treatment plant. But common sense would tell anyone that the cost would be nominal. Just, I can't even imagine the difference in the cost between creating a new state-of-the-art, magnificent new wastewater treatment plant that we have to carry the burden. You're taking 1,400 households, and we will carry the entire burden of this loan. It doesn't make any sense. I know they're thinking long-term, and Globe wants to expand their housing, and there's a lot of other issues. But the bottom line is 1,400 people are responsible for this loan, and it doesn't seem like there's any management to it. When I moved here, the loan was $69 million. Today, 14 years later, it's doubled. And I don't even know if that's the exact amount, because we can't get exact amounts from anybody. We can't get reporting. We tried to get where our property taxes have gone for the last 14, 15 years. Can't get any reporting on it. No receipts, no canceled checks, no, we have no idea what's been done to date.
So let's talk about the vote that the district was supposed to have had some time ago. We have gone back, and I mean several of us have gone back and gone over records, and the only vote that we have found took place in 2015. In 2015 or 2016, there was a vote that allowed the TRSD board to negotiate with the town of Miami for a buy-in. Let me explain a buy-in. A buy-in is, for example, I have a construction company, I don't do electrical, and so say a guy that comes to me and says, I have an electrical license, I want to tie in with you, you already have an established name, you have offices, you have everything in place, how much will it cost me to buy in? Well, basically this is what TRSD was authorized to do, to sit down with the Miami people. You already have a wastewater system. You already have lines in place. What will it cost for us to buy in with the town? At the time, the town manager, and this is the then town manager telling me that the agreed to amount was $1.2 million. And then the deal breaker was placed on the table. The deal breaker was the TRSD board that was negotiating, or the people that were negotiating, said, well, now we want to take over your plant because we have more users. And of course, you know, the mine turned that down because the mine is the one that built the wastewater plant. They had everything going. And it was a deal breaker. And so then they went to USDA and said, again, that they had met over 60 times in 6 years. I mean, there's so many contradictions in their website. It's heartbreaking because you don't know what to believe. And like I said, I've even been used to convince people that I had a hand in this, and I didn't. So the deal fell through, and now we have this pursuit of a $122 million, and we don't know. We don't know how much it's going to cost to hook up to Miami. We need actual costs, and we're not being given the actual costs.
It sounds like that is the central focus here, is that you can't really have a discussion if you're not giving the numbers to have it. So
that's correct.
You need two different sets of numbers. You need to know what will it cost using TRSD's method, what will it cost using Miami's method? And until you have that, you don't have a discussion.
No, you don't. And then, like I said, it's heartbreaking to go. And that's why so many people have stopped attending the TRSD meetings. You go and you're shut down immediately. And they boast about their transparency, but we all know that's not true.
Now, when you're talking about things like this, aren't there certain laws, excuse me, and by the way, I normally would have had Fred come back on another night when I wasn't falling apart, but I wasn't sure when I'd be back here, so I said, no, we're going to do it. Yeah, it's the old wanting to do it in the worst way, and that's the way I'm doing it. But be that as it may here, I would think, and fool that I am, that there would have to be something that the taxpayers and the public couldn't be encumbered to do something without knowing what they're doing. Again, we're back to a blank check.
That is correct.
And you know, I assume that Robert Jacques will take us up on the offer to come in, and hopefully he'll come in with figures. Now, I don't know that he would have figures for the Miami end of it, how much it would cost to hook up to Miami. So, with that in mind, since that's your other option, how can you get those figures?
There again, I mean, you look at how much money has been spent that we can find. I mean, it's ridiculous that, and you mentioned Jacques. Jacques put out a leaflet or a flyer in December 2023, where he states that the design for this, for phase one, is presently taking place. Well, what's been happening for the last 15 years that they, and it's my contention that if any design that has been done by PACE would have to go, and now especially with the wastewater plant being so far up north, it all flows down towards the shopping center, towards the connections where Miami has their main lines to their wastewater plant. So there's not like that. It has to be redesigned. We have been hit so many times with, well, that's proprietary information. We can't tell you. We cannot discuss that. People are tired of it. And we have invited these folks. And, of course, they say, well, I believe, I said, well, why should we go and address people that are angry?
Okay,
well, you should ask yourself, why are they angry?
Yeah, well, what I see here is that it may be possible to get TRSD to the point that they have to disclose. But you've still got the other half of that. You've got to find out a way to get a figure disclosed for hooking up to Miami.
That's correct.
And see, they don't have to give you that, and they might not even have that, because that's not the plan that they're working on. They've got another project that they're working on. So there should be a way, and that's why I task the two of you to figure out how are you going to find out how much money it will cost to hook up to Miami, because you're going to need that figure.
And that's correct. And we can't have these bogus figures that PACE Engineering, I think, is the one that comes out with it. And talking about PACE, hey, at one of my meetings that I did attend, I asked about the medium income survey to find out if there had been a survey to prove that the town or the community could support this system. Mike Krebs jumped up and says, oh, we had nothing to do with the getting the medium income survey, because in their PER, preliminary engineering report of 2015, they said that the average income in the TRSD district was $26,000 or $27,000. And he says that was figured out by the engineer, AMAX, before we came on board. Well, that's a 2009.
No, you can see. In fact, I think anybody would concede that this is a very big expense that some people will not be able to handle. But
no.
Again, going forward here, because I look at it more just from a logistics standpoint, in order to prevail, you need two things. You need the set of dollars from TRSD in stone, and you need the set of dollars, and this will be the hard one, from what it'll cost to do Miami. Because without that, it's very hard to have a successful argument.
That's so correct.
So hopefully before April 18th, you'll find a way to do that. The radio station is neutral. Where we are is we have to have a system.
Correct.
And other than that, let the chips fall where they may. But information is never bad. So you'll do your meeting on April 18th. And then hopefully Robert Jacques will decide he wants to come on the air, and he's welcome. We'll hear from him. Hopefully the next time we talk, and that you guys will come back, is you'll have figures. Because without them, you're at a standstill.
That's correct.
All right. So we thank, for putting up with me more than anything, both Dana and Fred for coming on in. This will be replayed on Sunday morning on KJAA. And I believe that'll be about 9 a.m. because it'll be Tim Humphrey, Al Gameros, and then this meeting. So that'll be Sunday mornings. That's 1240 a.m. and 106.1 FM. Plus, I will digitize it, assuming I recorded it, which I'm 99% sure I did, and it will be on KQSS.net, and we will have a link on the homepage. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it.